Welcome to Asset Finance Connect's series of podcasts on the European asset finance industry. I'm Richard O'Donoghue, and for the past few months, I've been chatting to industry experts about the challenges and opportunities facing our industry in 2025 and beyond. As we move into the final few months of the year, we're going to keep those conversations going and continue to explore topics such as AI, partnership, sustainability, and captives. Thanks to our sponsors, Alpha, for their continued support, and we'll tell you a bit more about Alpha later in the podcast. So back in April, Bengayi Kumbula of Innovant shared his insights of asset financing in Africa and the Middle East. Today, I'm delighted to have two guests from CSI Leasing to get their perspective on some other global markets. Firstly, we have Simi Thapar, who is the Chief Country Officer of CSI in India, and who'll chat with us about the asset financing market in India. And for an even broader global perspective, I'm also joined by the worldwide president of CSI Leasing, Arnaldo Rodriguez. Simi, Arnaldo, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
So, thanks, Richard, and thank you for having us for this podcast.
We look forward to it, Simi.
The Asset Finance Connect Association is very close to my heart. So it's always nice to be here. Thank you so much.
Fantastic. Arnaldo, maybe I'll start at a kind of high level. CSI Leasing, as Simi said, you're heavily involved in Asset Finance Connect. So many of our listeners will be very aware of CSI. They'll know that you have a esteemed and long history. But perhaps for listeners who aren't familiar with CSI Leasing, maybe give us a little bit of background on the company.
Sure. We've been in business, I guess we're celebrating our third year in the leasing business. CSI is one of the oldest technology lessors based in the U.S., but we have equipment in over 50 markets. So we're covering all of the major markets, you know, North America, U.S. and Canada, Latin America, Mexico, Brazil, the Andean region, Central America, all of the major markets in Europe, certainly the big five, UK, Germany, Spain, France, Italy, Central and Eastern Europe. And we are experiencing really, I would say, exponential growth in Asia. Simi and her team are doing an incredible job in India, but you know, we've also expanded to a number of other markets. And I guess that has a lot to do with our parent company, Tokyo Century, which is one of the largest leasing companies in Japan. So working with Tokyo Century, we've expanded to Indonesia. And we're also operating in Thailand. You know, we already covered Malaysia, Singapore, China, Taiwan, Hong Kong. So we have a pretty broad footprint in Asia, and that continues to increase. You know, what's important about that is that it allows us to offer a global one-stop shopping solution to our clients. We're mostly multinational companies. I mean, we don't only do multinationals. We also do medium-sized companies, and we do other segments and like medical. The fastest growing is Asia. So we have a model where we're working mostly on a direct basis with our global accounts, but we also work with a number of technology vendors. And that's a pretty significant part of our business as well. It could be, you know, 30-40% mm-hmm. of our global origination, where we help them provide a global financing solution together with their technology solution.
So it sounds like we've come to the right place to get a global perspective, given all of the markets you have listed off around the world. And I guess Asia, you know, specifically India, is one that a lot of listeners will be interested in. And maybe, Simi, talk about when did CSI Leasing set up in India and how did you go about it?
So in India, the equipment leasing industry, Richard, is a very small size comparatively, and particularly for technology equipment, is less than 1% of the total IT equipment sold in the country. So you can see the scope here.
There's an opportunity.
So regarding India entry, I would say that the parent company chose the lean phase of the world, the COVID-19 phase, to enter a very opportune market in the year 2020. And by the time the situation returned to normalcy in 2023, the timing was good. So we established ourselves in terms of hiring people, opening offices, getting tax registrations, and reaching out in the market. We reached out to our global customers who were waiting to be serviced in India. And it was interesting that the funders reached us because they wanted us to avail their facilities in India, because when they learned about in the global website about CSI setting up in India. So it was a perfect balance. Apart from these global relationships with the funders or vendors or customers, the major attraction to set up in India was, as I said, a very opportune market, a very untapped market, and trying to bring our, you know, some USPs to the domestic market over here, which were completely, totally new for the Indian customers. And I must say that it's been the fourth year of operations and we have been very welcomed here. A very good response from our vendors, funders, customers, everywhere.
And I think that's one of the reasons for having this podcast is everybody is interested in growth markets and maybe untapped markets like India. And I think people will be very interested in hearing a little bit more about that as we kind of go along in the podcast. But maybe, Arnaldo, again, to get a global perspective, despite the challenge, the obvious challenge of setting up during COVID, which was probably not what you had planned when you initially thought you were going to do this. But you mentioned some, I don't want to say challenging markets, but markets that a lot of leasing companies wouldn't go to, or certainly international leasing companies like in Indonesia, for example. Was setting up in India very different, or was it something you'd experienced before in other markets and you were therefore very familiar with the challenges and opportunities that existed?
I would say it was a little bit more challenging, but more because of regulatory requirements and having to deal with the Reserve Bank of India. It was certainly a lot easier in most of the other markets that we've dealt with. You know, I've been at CSI for 23 years and I've been involved with like 28 setting up 28 subsidiaries. And other than India, the only other subsidiary that was kind of difficult was Brazil, because they also had a regulatory process. But beyond the regulatory process, everything else seemed to be easier, and certainly helped a lot to have someone like Simi with all of her experience and, you know, her network and dealing with people who had experience on the ground. That always makes it a lot easier.
Sure.
It's all about the talent, right? That's the most critical factor in setting up any local business. It's the who's who.
Exactly. And I mean, you mentioned the regulatory environment. The other thing that you often hear about India is that the tax situation is complex. The states have different taxes. I mean, Simi, maybe you could talk a little bit about that. Is that still the case? I know there was kind of changes in the regime. And also maybe just again for listeners, you know, what are the big differences between leasing in India and leasing, for example, in Western Europe?
Tax part, I think you rightly pointed out, and that's why probably CSI took about four decades to enter the India market. It is complicated. But GST, when the new government came in and the GST regulations are set in, and by the time we were kind of settled with the new tax regime on the GST side. It came in 2017. The settling period was 2 years, and 2019 is when CSI, you know, started working with some consultants to set up subsidiaries in India. So the timing was perfect. Things are far more simpler, related, and organized compared to what you're right, that what was it, the pre-GST phase. For, you know, any foreign entity to enter India, it was complex to understand. Even for Indians, it was complex. I wouldn't say, because, you know, we are so diverse in terms of the languages and the culture and everything. So many a times you need that local language to, you know, liaison with the tax officers there and all. Now it's simple. Everything is online. Everything is highly regulated. So it's much, much better. As Arnaldo said, those are the difficult phases, but it's behind us now. My experience in terms of, you know, from the Western market or in the Europe, or, you know, what it is over here, I think it's a very mature product in Europe. But in India, like just as we are speaking, you have something called a body called Asset Finance Connect. In India, we don't even have an asset financing industry body. It's all getting covered under the normal corporate lending activity by the banks. So you can understand, you know, the kind of focus is there on asset finance in that market. Over here, it's different. In mature markets like Europe, USA, leasing is very known and it's kind of a given option for people. But in India, we need to educate, we need to create awareness, and more than that, bring a cultural shift. So I think mature and vintage organizations like CSI Leasing bring freshness in terms of agility, speed, proprietary asset management tools, flexibility, transparency, which brings an alternative to investment in assets to large and domestic, large multinational organizations and domestic organizations.
And when you mentioned the cultural shift, is that really around ownership versus rental mentality, that people still like to own the assets?
Absolutely. So in India, the mindset or the entire industry has been built on the model of long-term ownership rather than need-based use of equipment.
Okay.
So bringing that shift is very important from a long-based ownership, irrespective of the use, to a need-based use, I think, which the Western market brings in. So we need to really educate the CFOs and the CSOs, CEOs, that the competition is not really cash or debt or equity. What we are bringing to you is a comprehensive equipment lifecycle solution. So undoubtedly, we have to be patient to communicate our offerings, encourage them to culturally switch from that long-term ownership to a need-based use model. But the good news is that the shift is happening. We have been very welcome with our solutions and services. We have onboarded quite a lot of, customers in the last 4 years that we have been here. And the ratio is, more skewed towards having more domestic customers, that itself shows, and the global accounts, because that itself shows that they were looking forward to some such kind of solution. And I think from ownership stickiness to aligning with the equipment lifecycle solution, particularly for equipment with high obsolescence factor like IT equipment where we specialize on, I think we'll definitely bring a shift in the market mindset here.
And I'll come back to that topic in a minute, but maybe just one sort of final global topic, maybe Arnaldo, you can comment on this, is you mentioned you have a lot of global customers. Do they expect the same solution in every country, or are you able to kind of localize? Is CSI's model try and deliver a consistent offer to everybody?
Well, we try to provide a global one-stop shopping solution around providing a number of value adds. I would say giving customers the visibility to their technology estate by providing digital tools. We have a product we call MyCSI. Having flexibility in terms of structuring. So here, each customer has a different requirement. So we try to be as flexible as possible. So we're structuring to the customer's requirement. And then what's really unique about CSI is that we are the only independent IT lessor that either owns or controls most of its ITAD facilities. These are the facilities that do the data wipe and the environmental disposal. So we provide the entire solution across visibility, control, flexibility to manage technological obsolescence, and then the end of life, which addresses the data security and the sustainability. So we're trying to address all of these issues that are of most concern to the C-level. So to an extent, it is similar, but there's some flexibility on the structuring. Because, some companies may want fair market value leases, others might want something that is a little bit more flexible, like a DaaS solution or an as a service, but it's mostly fair market value leasing. Yeah, it is consistent except for those nuances which are based on specific customer requirements.
I'd just like to add to this when you spoke about the global part. The unique thing that we also bring to the table is that CSI, has its touch points to the entire supply chain. I'm talking of the global manufacturers to the disposal. And that, again, is a differentiating factor that we are bringing. Somewhere the manufacturer or the, distributor or the dealer of those equipment and the customer, they themselves become, our voice to expand our reach.
Right.
So definitely that brings a lot of difference in our little way. I think in every which way we are contributing to developing the asset financing and leasing industry, whether it's India or any new market we go in, because we bring those global members also to these.
If you're moving into new regions, you'll need a platform that can support local market requirements. Alpha Systems delivers a single solution that meets the origination, servicing, and collections needs in all your regions without the need for additional instances. There's also sophisticated tooling for portfolio acquisition and scaling up in general. Find out how Alpha Systems can support your geographic expansion at alphasystems.com. That's alfasystems.com. And one of the things, you know, I mentioned earlier, we had a session with Innovant back in April, and they talked about remarketing and the value they are bringing, and they have their own ITAD business as well. But maybe talk to me, Simi, a little bit about how you do that in India. How does remarketing work?
Interesting. But I must tell you this, that the IT equipment remarketing industry in India has been dominated by the informal sector. We touched about the GST part. So post-GST introduction in 2017, thrust by the government to the ESG norms, when we talk of environmental sustainability and governance, those norms and regulations, online platforms being developed. So the entire size and reach of this remarketing space is not only getting organized, it's growing as well. So there is an increasing awareness amongst corporates also of responsible use of the equipment, responsible disposal of equipment. And I think companies like CSI with an in-house ITAD subsidiary, EPC Global Solutions, being able to provide comprehensive solutions, that's again adding up to building up this industry in whichever small way that we can contribute. Also, there's a global exchange happening because about more than 1,500 global capability centers are established in India. We call them as GCCs in India. And this space is also growing. You know, the remarketing, refurbishment, recycling industry is much more organized and developed in the West than it is in India. So we opine that these organizations will also contribute to the development of remarketing industry in India, given their attention to using the latest and most advanced equipment and technology. So I think that will contribute to developing this industry more.
And you mentioned earlier, Arnaldo, just this is a big business for CSI. Maybe just talk a little bit about that, how you do it globally.
Are you referring to the ITAD business?
Yeah, the ITAD business.
Well, we basically set up a global standard, which is based on CSI's best practices in the U.S. So we've been doing that in the U.S. for over 40 years. We find that as we expand this business, we implement the same consistent practices, and we leverage the same certifications that we have across multiple markets. And this is something that's critically important to multinational accounts, because they are looking to receive the same service levels across multiple geographies. It gives them a lot of confidence, especially given that we're talking about critical areas. Everybody's hypersensitive about data security, and sustainability is becoming more important, you know, certainly in Europe. So where we can address those two issues, that really helps to resonate with our clients. And where we don't own companies, because we don't have ITAD companies in 50 countries, we find partners who we can certify along our best practices. Over 80% of our markets covered, given our ITAD facilities in Europe, in Latin America, and some of the ones that we have in Asia. So that's kind of how we're addressing the issue, by providing that consistency and leveraging the expertise so that it's being provided in a consistent fashion across all these markets.
And that's a term I think, you know, comes across loud and clear as we chat, that what you're delivering, it may have local specificity, but in general, you're trying to deliver a consistent solution globally to customers, which again, is an interesting business model and a challenging business model, to be frank, for people to deliver, but you seem to be very focused on that.
Absolutely.
I want to kind of brave a question here. And the reason I'm saying it may be a brave question is that by the time we release this podcast, it could be out of date given all that's happening geopolitically in the world. But at the moment, it appears tariffs are kind of on again. Interested, Simi, in do you think this whole tariff issue will have an impact on India, and specifically on the leasing market, maybe from a credit risk point of view, or maybe there's more secondhand assets available? What are your thoughts to give us an Indian perspective on this?
My view is that, you know, India is very vigilant now about the fact that they do not want the influx of the used equipment in the Indian market. I do not foresee the government wanting to change its stand over there. So as I said, the industry is too small. A lot needs to be done here. There's so much development to happen. I'm not sure whether a detailed study on this has happened yet, but honestly, I don't see that any impact to happen on the leasing industry per se on this. So we haven't honestly done a very detailed study on it yet because there have been so many things about on and off on the tariff part.
Yeah.
So let it be announced the big way and then for us to really evaluate. But I think the government will continue to retain its stand on not having the used equipment in the Indian market because there's so much thrust on manufacturing locally.
Yeah.
And there has been so much invitation from the world to come and set up manufacturing facilities here. So, you know, even the Indian companies are getting into the manufacturing of this laptop to cater to the smaller town cities and, you know, the less developed states in India. So I'm not very sure whether this would really have an impact as of now.
Well, I think you've touched on it. Everybody wants certainty, and then we can all plan for it. At the moment, it's a little bit difficult to plan when you really don't know how this will all play out over the next couple of months. I want to sort of pivot to two other topics that are slightly broader. And one, Arnaldo, is I'm going to ask you, which is kind of around company cultures. We're kind of touching on this more and more with leaders as they come on these podcasts. One of the things I noticed on your website was that your senior leaders tend to have very long tenure at CSI. I'm just intrigued as to why do people stay so long at a single company in an industry where generally there's quite a high turnover of people?
I think it has a lot to do with the culture. CSI has a very entrepreneurial culture. The managers, I would say everybody, I mean, people are pretty engaged and, you know, it's very empowering because Our mission is to really make the customer happy, as simple as that sounds. And that is something that evolves over time, right? The customer's requirements evolve and the ability to service the customer and change with the customer requirements is really important. It sounds simple, but there's a lot of inflexibility when we look at some of our earlier competitors that, you know, they don't really change along with the customer. And I think that impacts the culture because it is empowering and it helps us evolve as a company. You know, for example, when I started at CSI, we were like in less than 10 subsidiaries. Now we have equipment in over 50 markets. And part of that is because we followed the customers and my colleagues on the board have been very supportive of that. And I think that is very motivating to the rest of the group that, you know, we can continue to evolve in a very positive fashion and grow the company. Everybody wants to work in a company that's evolving and growing. And beyond growth, you know, that provides a sense of a personal satisfaction. But beyond that, we also try to have fun and we look at, you know, having a work-life balance. We celebrate our successes. So all of that is important. So I would say definitely the culture, that entrepreneurial culture and that balance in the company to celebrate when good things are happening and we're achieving the next milestone.
Great. And one of the things, again, I noticed on your website was the importance of social impact to your employees. And I guess, Simi, in India, there's a lot of opportunity to engage in social impact. And I know it's important to you. We've met before and we've talked about it. Maybe just highlight some of the things that you're personally involved in or involved in through CSI.
Sure. I would even like to add to what Arnaldo said, because he's been for many years in the company, but someone who's relatively younger in the organization, fifth year with CSI. I must say it's a great culture. The management is extremely mindful of the work-life balance. What I particularly like about CSI is also that belongingness that they create. Mm-hmm. It's a very non-silo culture. They're open to new ideas in new markets and they definitely provide a culture of empowerment with the right balance of controls and diligence to ensure that the customer experience is not like you're going all out, but it's a smooth and happy experience for all customers and all stakeholders. So I must say that it's great working with them and I would like to talk about it a little more in detail later.
Yeah.
And regarding the You know, social impact, that's more personal. I've been doing in my personal capacity for many years, since we spoke about it years ago when we met. I can just say that I think all of us need to engage in some activity besides our work. So I have been very fortunate to get an opportunity to work as a volunteer since its inception with an organization that focuses more on economic empowerment for women of a remote village, where the women in the very less privileged families, where we try to encourage them to step out of their comfort zone or weak zone and bring to the surface their unexplored talent in culinary, in art and craft, in manufacturing of some cosmetic skincare products, home products, so that they have this financial independence and live a life filled with more dignity. And the whole idea was that this has a very percolating effect of creating a culture of respect and responsibility for the woman, and then in effect on their children, and brings overall more empowerment to the family. So this is something I like to devote my time on, and I was happy to see when I joined CSI, there's a lot of focus. They also do a lot of activities in supporting cancer patients and all. Maybe Arnaldo can talk about it, and encourage employees to participate in these activities. And they do have a follow-up to check, have you done something? So I think it's interesting to see that the organization also focus on this CSR, as we call in India, as corporate social responsibility.
It's funny, I saw on your website that one of the great organizations you work with is the Ronald McDonald House. And unfortunately, some of the parents who get the benefit of the Ronald McDonald House had the misfortune to have me cook for them one evening when I was at Dell. So we brought a group of people and made dinner. Generally, I think the quality of cuisine is probably fantastic, but they were just unfortunate with that particular experience. But it is a fantastic charity. And I think it's one of the great things about our industry generally. I find that all of the people I speak with, they have a personal commitment to, you know, helping others. And I think the industry supports that really, really well. And clearly CSI does as well. So I think it's something that it, you know, encourages people to stay in the industry and remain committed. And it's great to see us giving back. I just want to finish off. I hope nobody will mind. We're kind of a more mature group, is maybe the way I would express it on this particular podcast. And I always sort of feel when, you know, it's a little bit like giving back. I like to ask people, what advice would you give to people maybe starting in the industry or maybe 3-4 years into their careers? If there was kind of one bit of advice, maybe you got it in the past or you've given that advice, what would it be? Maybe Arnaldo, we'll start with you.
Well, I think about the work-life balance and the personal satisfaction associated with continuous growth and evolving. When you think of how many hours you spend working, because we do spend a lot of time, you have to make sure it's something you really love. So that is certainly one thing, that whatever you do, make sure it's something that you have a passion for, because that is going to be really important. And then, you know, that's going to have a reflection on everything else that you do, because it's something that makes you happy. You know, it takes time, because one thing that I've seen consistently is that it takes a good, you know, probably 3 to 5 years to kind of get your footing and to know if you're going to be successful or not. So you need to have patience. So you need to have a passion, and you need to have patience, and obviously lots of discipline, and hopefully you're enjoying what you're doing.
And Simi, you've had a minute to think of your response. So what would you suggest?
It's always been, I think, there's absolutely no substitute to hard work, integrity and dedication. Any product line, any career you choose, I think if these three aspects are there, then, you know, success is bound to come in. As long as, you know, don't allow any materialistic aspects to, you know, kind of corrupt you, any short-term gains to corrupt you, any materialistic aspects to corrupt you, and you focus on, you know, your peace and spiritual growth, I think success and is bound to come your way. And don't compromise on your mental peace and mental health.
Look, it's a lovely way to end. And I have to say, you've both spoken about work-life balance, mental health, being in a good place, which surprised me. I didn't expect that this would necessarily be the conversation we were going to have. And it's very interesting that you've both brought that up. And it's clear that that's the culture within CSI. So it's been great to learn a little bit about CSI and the culture. And it's been also really great to learn a little bit more about India and some of the things that are happening. I'm a little bit out of date, as you probably gathered, Simi. It's been a while since I've been in India, so it was good to learn about how the market has evolved and continuing to evolve. So thank you very much for your time. And I'm sure, as we said at the beginning, Simi, I'm sure we'll see you at a future Asset Finance Connect event. We look forward to that.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Richard, for having us and for this wonderful set of questions. And it's been a wonderful interaction. Great evening from me. And along with Arnaldo, it's always nice. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Richard. We really appreciate it. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from Asset Finance Connect, sponsored by Alpha. It's always interesting to get global perspectives on our industry. So I really enjoyed chatting with Simi and Arnaldo. I was particularly struck by Simi's comment about the changes in the Indian regulatory environment and how this made it easier for CSI to set up an operation there. When looking to set up a new company, I think many of us are guilty of doing an initial due diligence and deciding it's too difficult. But how often do we continue to monitor the situation in those countries and be ready to invest when circumstances change? If you've enjoyed this podcast, look out for more episodes in the coming months, and we always welcome suggestions on topics or guests for future podcasts. Thanks for listening.